Today's recording is dedicated by Batsheva and Tzvi Nass in honor of the Yahrzeit of Tzvi's father, which is today, Reb Moshe ben Tzvi. May his soul have an ascent and may he be a good advocate for them and for the entire family. So I'm sure it's happened to you that there were ideas that you had learned before and you knew pretty well, but sometimes when somebody else questions or even argues with them, you come to a whole new, deeper appreciation of them because you needed to explain them. So I want to share with you a dialogue that I had last night. It was a dialogue on the new virtual Beis Medrash, the new virtual Academy of High Studies called WhatsApp, that a friend of mine had to give a class last night. And so I recommended to her to be able to give over this particular idea. I recommended that she listen to an earlier voice note, which I will attach over here also. It's number 189 that I sent a few months ago, which basically is the idea that Reb Hillel Paracher, the great Reb Hillel of Paracher, explains that when the Shulchan Aruch says, Shivis Hashem Nagdi Tomit, that the first halacha, the first step every Jew needs to know is all of life is forever lived in the sight of God, that you have to know that you're always standing before the King of all kings. Reb Hillel Paracher says that semantic way of saying it is according to the revealed aspect of Torah that you're standing in God's presence. You're standing before the King. But according to the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, according to the truth of Chassidus, you're not standing before the King, you're not standing before God, you're within the King, you're a part of God, you're completely within God's infinite light. And this friend of mine responded by texting, which of course is the new modern way of having a deep theological, philosophical discussion. That's what people do today, they text philosophical questions. She texted me that although she liked the idea, she felt it was a beautiful idea, she said that she can't help having the thought that she's not worthy to view herself as being part of God. That it seems like there's something we should need to do to be worthy of such a role. That we actually, to be part of God, there's something we should be able to have to do something to earn the state of being part of God versus simply being part of God. Could any one of us feel worthy enough to just be part of God? And I loved that question because as I responded to her, that there's no better way of exactly articulating what was the machlekes between Chassidim and Misnagdim. There's no better way of explaining, of saying, what is it that those that were against the Hasidic movement, the teachings of Hasidism, what they were so against, what was such a radical idea that Hasidus introduced that got them so nervous? Because you see, in almost all the Torah literature before the Hasidic movement, what seemed, and I repeat, seemed to be being conveyed, is indeed that your relationship with God is based on what you do or don't do, if you're doing your do's and don'ts list. And just like Santa, God knows if you've been naughty or if you've been nice. And will send you gifts down the supernal chimney in this world and the next world, depending on if you fulfilled your do's and don'ts list. And this simplistic view of Judaism, of religion, caused generations of Jews to be cowered in fear before the big bad wolf in the sky. Looking at these ideas at this superficial level has caused many, many rabbis throughout the generations to yell at Jews that if they don't keep Torah and mitzvahs, they're terrible people and going to hell and have no relationship with God. But came along the Baal Shem Tov and all his students and all the Hasidic works and revealed the innermost truth of Torah, which is exactly what this friend of mine last night had a hard time comprehending, that there's nothing you need to do to be a part of God. It's not about being worthy of viewing oneself as part of God. You are part of God. That is the ultimate truth. There's nothing you need or can do. God is the only thing that exists. Einoid milvadoi. Only God exists and everything is part of God's infinite light. It is simply about being. Your being is one with God's being. And of course, this is what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, chapter 33, that this is the ultimate joy that Chassidus brought to the world, the ultimate simcha. This is why we should be dancing all day. And this week, which is all about shir, about song, this is why we always have a reason to sing. This is what we always should be singing about, and what chassidim are always singing about. The Alter Rebbe explains in chapter 33 of Tanya, and he actually gives the parable of the simplest, most lowly person that actually becomes so close with the King of all kings. It has nothing to do with whether you're worthy or not. It just is. You are part of God because you are. That's just the truth that Chassidus revealed. Lahavdil, a bathroom is part of God. A tree is part of God. God is the only thing that exists. Everything is God's light. Dance and sing about it all day. It's true. And the Alter Rebbe said the opposite. It's not that you need Torah mitzvahs to get close to God. Once you have this joy, that will propel you, will resurrect you, like the Alter Rebbe says. It will be mechaya you. It will give you the vitality that you need to then go do Torah mitzvahs, to then go learn Torah and do mitzvahs in order to reveal this truth of God's infinite light in the physical world, reveal the truth of reality. As the Alter Rebbe quotes from the Gemara in Makis, that the Gemara says that there are 613 mitzvahs, and the prophet Chavakuk said all of them depend on one. Tzadik b'munosu yichye, yichaye, one mitzvah, just have faith in God. How does the faith in God bring to the 613 mitzvahs? The Alter Rebbe explains, because when you have this ultimate joy, which is our ultimate joy, and it's God's ultimate joy when we have this awareness, that will inspire you to keep all the rest of Torah mitzvahs. I don't need to tell you that the reason that there's so many Jews that are alienated from God today, so many human beings, millions of people are alienated from God, because there are still these places that are trying to perpetuate that old fear, that shallow view of God that's so scary and intimidating and frankly silly. So my friend heard this whole explanation and she responded that women will still ask after all that, but what do they need to do? Because, you know, everyone today wants the steps that you need to do, you know, the three things you need to do, the seven habits. Everyone's looking for that checklist. That's the fashionable self-help thing these days. You have a list of things to do to check off that you could do stuff. She said, this idea of Chassidus is deeply resonating, but it's much harder to grasp. And I said, you're 100% right. It is much harder to grasp because it's all about coming in touch with the deepest reality of who we really are, our essential being. And there's nothing you need to do. What we do need is to be aware. Spend time allowing your mind to be conscious of this truth, which of course is why Chabad is called Chabad, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Mental awareness of your unity with God. How much you will feel that is only based on one thing, which is a harder one. It's not a checklist. How much could you be aware and conscious of this fact? How much could you meditate on it? And that will then inspire you to reveal it in the world by keeping Torah mitzvahs. And the more we become aware of this and teach our others also to be conscious of it, we will see Mashiach come when we will see this truth with our physical eyes.